he gives me, not that I'm gifted in speaking, but that gift that he gives me in being able to pass along the love and some of the lessons that I'm learning as my walk with him increases. Last week we talked a little bit about what God is doing in the lives of many of us and how he is interacting in this body of believers that meets here and that we call ourselves Peninsula Bible Fellowship. And I had an opportunity to read a letter from Larry Hunsberger, and for those of you who may not know Larry, Larry was instrumental in the founding of this body of believers, in that he came up back in the early 80s and back from Texas. He had lived up here, moved to Texas, and returned back from Texas and started this group of believers. And I mentioned last week that somebody had once come to me and said that as she looks at this church, she believed that this is a recovery church. But I think that every church is a recovery church. Every church of believers that are interested in following the Lord Jesus Christ and living their lives according to him living through them is a recovery, because we're recovering from the nature of sin that has been passed along since Adam. This morning, I want to start looking at the book of Colossians. And it's an interesting study to me. Colossians is one of my favorite books in all of Scripture. Because as I look at it, I see a group of people who were being bombarded with a lot of philosophy. And at that point in which Paul addresses them, it doesn't appear like they have succumbed to the philosophies that will be pushed upon them that will draw them away from who Christ was in their personal lives. So today I want to start looking at the book of Colossians. And before we look at the book of Colossians, I want to look at the history of Colossae itself. The city of Colossae was a city in Asia Minor, which is now present-day Turkey. And for those of you who like history, this will be, I hope, fascinating for you. For those of you who hate history, I hope that you'll bear with me a little bit, because I'm a lover of history. I love history. I love exploring what makes a people, what makes a group of people, and how they interact and how they work with each other and how they lived and why that all came about. And so I want to step back a little bit into the history of Colossae. The Colossians were of this city of Colossae, which is in Asia Minor. In its heyday, it was known as one of the six largest cities of that area. The area was known Phrygia, and it was in southwestern Turkey. The city started, as all cities do, it usually starts up amongst a form of labor, a form of a place where a good or a trade can become the center of the economy, or the area has a river flowing through it or something like that. That's the case in Colossae. And so the Colossians were known for their trade in wool. They had a special dye that they had come up with, and that made their wool products, being dyed a very brilliant red, gave them a center for trade and a center for commerce. They were also on a major trade route and a major thoroughfare between the city of Ephesus and the Euphrates River. And so this was a major travel place throughout history, and the city of Colossae formed and became established because of where it was located. If any of you know of Xerxes, King Xerxes, and his way to war with Greece, he stopped and stayed in Colossae. And it was from there that he He stopped and rested before he went off into war. So Colossae became one of six major cities in that area, Phrygia. It was a major trade route and a major trade center. In 12 AD and 12 BC, the city was hit by a major earthquake. And it was a major earthquake that affected a number of the cities in that area. And it almost destroyed the city. They rebuilt partially and were able to regain some of their status, but their status was never as big as what it was before that. In 60 AD, they were hit by another major earthquake that almost devastated the city, and they started to rebuild, but again, each time these earthquakes hit, the cities never became what they were before. So why do I tell you this history of Colossae? I tell you it because it sets up who they were as a city and a people. The fact that they were in amongst the major trading routes of the area also made them vulnerable to a lot of the major philosophies that were going on throughout that time. In those days, unlike today, they didn't have TV, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have means of communication of a major media center like we do today, where our philosophies and our theories and our ways we conduct our lives and the things that we believe are passed through so fast to us. But in that day, the philosophies came through the trading. The philosophies came through the travel and back and forth between regions. And so, Colossae being in the major trading route, it made them very vulnerable to many philosophies that were coming and going throughout that area. So I set up this because one of the reasons that Paul writes to the Colossians is because of something that he was seeing happening throughout the different churches that he had ministered to. Now, as far as we know, when Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, he had never been to the city of Colossae. He had never been to the church. This church was founded by Epaphras, who most likely heard the gospel from Paul in Ephesus. Paul spent 2 years ministering in Ephesus, and many of the men that had been there in Ephesus studying under Paul went on to found churches around the area besides that. Ephesus was probably about 75 to 125 miles away from Colossae. So Epaphras went, began the church in Colossae, and it began to grow and flourish. And as it grew and flourished, because it was on one of the major trade routes, it became a main target of philosophies that were traveling back and forth through there. And Paul saw what was going on, and he decided that he needed to write a letter to the people of Colossae. Most likely, it was because Epaphras, the founder of the church, had also visited Paul while he was in prison. And if you remember from our study in Philippians, we talked about Paul's life. He had conducted his three major missionary trips into Asia Minor and into Eastern Europe. And at the time he finished his last one, he came back to Jerusalem. And while he was in Jerusalem, he was confronted by the Jews who saw him as a threat to their way of life, who saw the message that he was preaching and the message that the early church was preaching as a threat to their way of life. And so they kind of told some stories that didn't happen in reality. Paul was in the temple, and after he was in the temple, they came and said, well, Paul brought a Gentile into the temple where it was beyond the place where Gentiles could go. They organized a little riot that happened, and they tried to kill Paul. The Romans stepped in, arrested Paul, and mostly arrested him to try to protect him. The Jews tried to kill him. Eventually, Paul was taken away and taken to Rome, and it's a long story in which he got to Rome. But anyway, he was in prison in Rome awaiting his trial before Caesar. And if you remember that in those days when you were in prison, it wasn't like this is your sentence, you've got 5 years in jail. You committed this crime, now you have 5 years in jail. That's not the way prison worked back then. Prison was a waiting place for your trial. And then after your trial, then the sentence would be carried out, and you would either be punished in some way, or you would be set free. Paul was in Rome right then, waiting for his trial. He was under house arrest. And during this time of house arrest, he had a number of men that had come to help meet his needs. Epaphras was one of the men who had come to help meet his need. Probably knew Paul from his time in Ephesus. So Epaphras was there helping meet his need. Epaphras, who had started the church of Colossae, and probably told Paul of the creeping philosophies that were pushing into the church of Ephesus, or of Colossae. Now, I like to look at three of the books of the New Testament as three of the churches that Paul was involved with in one way or another, and it's a progression of philosophies moving in. The first one I want to mention is the church at Philippi. Because in the church of Philippi, you have Paul addressing the Philippians as a church that was solidly following the Lord Jesus Christ and their understanding of his grace and working it in their lives. And as they followed Jesus Christ, they were remaining true to the gospel and remaining true to their faith in Christ. The second one is the book of Colossians. And in Colossae, we see what Paul had started warning the Philippians about. You need to watch out for this. Now, when we get to the book of Colossae, we have a full onset of philosophies being pushed upon them, in which Paul is saying, okay, now, this is one next step from the Philippians, where not only is this what I see could happen, this is what I see is happening. People are coming in with philosophies to pull you away from Christ and his grace. The next one is the book of Galatians, in which Paul is saying, okay, now you Galatians have fallen prey to the philosophies that were being pushed on other churches. And what the philosophies were was mostly a pulling away from God's grace, from God's finished work, Christ's finished work on the cross for us, that he was saying, my grace is sufficient for you. But then the philosophies were saying, but now you need to add something. Now you need to add works to that grace. And it's not enough that Christ died for you and your sins have been forgiven, but now you need to take that next step and start working. And it's not even really enough that Christ died for you. You have to earn your salvation through the works. And so, as we look at these three churches, we see the church of Philippi, which was solid in believing what Christ had said. Then we see the church of Colossae, which was solid, but starting to be infiltrated by these philosophies. And then we look at the church at Galatia, and we see a church that had bought into the philosophies that happened. So Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, is saying, look out for these people because they are pushing at your door. They are knocking at your door and ready to try to lead you away from the grace that God has so freely given you, the grace by which we stand. So we start in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. And Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to God's holy people at Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being in him in every way, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that ye may have great endurance and patience, in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people for the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Okay, I set up the background of the Church of Colossae because I wanted to talk about how Paul starts this letter and why he starts it this particular way. Paul starts it, as he starts many of his letters, by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in Timothy our brother. Now, we mentioned the philosophies that we're going to be pushing into the Church of, we're already pushing in on the Church of Colossae, and we'll study those a little bit more as we get more into the book of Colossians. But now I just want to mention that there were some philosophies that were contradictory to the gospel that Paul had felt he needed to warn the Colossians about. And he needed to say, these are right here. These are ready to start leading you away from the gospel that we've preached. So when Paul starts his letter, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now, as we read this in our modern minds, we don't really think too much, okay, this is a greeting, this is who I am, this is my greeting to you, but we don't really often see the meaning behind that phrase, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now, if we look at it as apostles, the apostles were the 12 chosen by Christ and those who followed him. And they were set up to be the ones that were going to carry the gospel into the world after Christ departed. But there was a very specific authority given to them, and that authority was given to them by Christ, by the will of God. So that as Paul is starting to address the Colossians, he's saying to them, okay, this is who I am. I have been called specifically by God to be an apostle, to be able to be an authority, to say, this is what God is telling you. This is what you need to be paying attention to. It's not just that I'm coming and giving you my opinion, but I have been called by God to present this to you. So it's not just a matter of Paul walking in and saying, okay, here I am, I'm about to tell you what I need to tell you. He's saying, I am set up by God to be in authority over you, to be able to tell you and to instruct you. And then he says, it's to God's holy people at Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Okay, in that statement, Paul is setting up who these people are. These are not just a group of people together. These are people that already know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. These are people that already understand the grace of God. They understand that they were a fallen people, that because of the fall, we're separated from God, that Christ, through his death and resurrection, has given them the opportunity to have faith in him and to have a relationship with him, that he has become their Savior. They are now his children. So Paul, in this opening statement, sets up for the people of Colossae not only who he is an authority over them set up by the will of God, but that they are his people, believers. And so it's not a letter written in order to present the gospel, it's a letter written to correct some things that might be happening in a church. So this is the background of what's happening in the beginning of the letter to the Colossians. Paul goes on then to say, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all God's people." Last week when I read the letter from Larry, one of the things that Larry said, a good measure on the health of a church is shown through two things. One, through their faith in God. And two, through their love for each other. And as I looked at that letter and as I was getting ready to present the book of Colossians to you, I started thinking about how Paul looked at the group of believers at Colossae and he saw a healthy, strong body of believers that were about to come under attack, that were already becoming under attack by philosophies that were going to pull them away from Christ. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus," the one first visual ability to see the health of a church, "and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing for you from the day you first heard of it and truly understood God's grace. As we look further into the book of Colossians, we're going to see that the people of Colossae understood God's grace well, but the philosophies that were creeping in were going to start telling them that God's grace was not enough. That God's grace was not sufficient for them, but that they needed to add more. And Paul addresses this, and Paul looks into how to combat these philosophies that were going to be pushing so hard against them. And this is what the book of Colossians is about. This is what the book of Colossians is looking at. It's looking at who the people of Colossae were, what they were going to be facing, and how they could stand against these things that were pushing against them. The people of Colossae were a strong group of believers, and if we look a little bit deeper into who they were, the church of Colossae most likely was a church that met at the home of Philemon. And the name Philemon should mean something to you because it's one of the books in the Bible. It's one of the letters, one of the epistles that Paul wrote to his friend Philemon. Philemon was a believer that most likely also came from Paul's work through Ephesus and Paul's teaching in Ephesus. Philemon was also a slaveholder whose slave was Onesimus. And Onesimus had escaped from his slavery to Philemon and went off to serve Paul in Rome. And Paul reminded him that his obligation was to go back to Philemon. And so when Paul writes to Philemon, It's a very short book in the New Testament. It consists of one chapter of about 25 to 29 verses. But Paul starts it out by talking about who Philemon was in his relationship with Christ. Paul, and I'm going to read the first few verses in Philemon. Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Epaphra, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I heard about your love for all God, all his holy people, and for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. And this is the remarkable thing that Paul says to him as I read it. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed our hearts, refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. This is the church, most likely from our understanding now, most likely that met in Philemon's house. The church of Colossae met in Philemon's house. And Paul's saying, okay, in spite of the things that have happened between you and your slave, in spite of the things that have gone on, this is how I see you, Philemon. I see you as, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all of his holy people and for your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. What a testimony of the working of Christ in the life of a man. That as Paul saw him, he says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement. And as I look at this body of believers here today, and as I look at how we have come through many different hurts and brokennesses, I think of you as, I think Paul thought of Philemon. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. As a body of believers, the two things, as Larry told us, that tell us if we're healthy is our faith in God and our love for each other. I love the fact that as I stand up here before you each week, I see a group of people who love the Lord deeply and have great faith in Him. And I see a group of people that love each other. And as we study Scripture, if we don't start to understand who the Father is better, then we're missing the point. Because our understanding and our growth in our Lord Jesus Christ comes from understanding who He is better and knowing the heart of the Father. Our growth in Christ comes from understanding who He is. And then that outworking of understanding who He is, that outworking of our growth becomes our love for each other. And as Jesus said, the two greatest commandments that there are is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Paul is addressing in each of his letters to the churches. Where are you with Christ? Where is your faith? And then how does that work throughout the body of believers? Our interaction with each other should be a result of Christ living his life through us. We are the vessels in which he has made whole and made pure through his blood. And then we in turn then start to minister to each other through that. I once had a good friend of mine who, as I looked at his life, I often said that he can't help but live his life in a way that Christ is flowing through him. And as you looked at him, you saw a picture of Christ. And it reminded me, and I've used this illustration before a long time ago, of a dried up kitchen sponge. If you take a sponge that hasn't been introduced to water for a while, and it's sitting above your sink, it's this crusty, hard piece of material. But as you put it under the faucet, and you turn the water on, that water starts to flow into it. And the first thing that happens to that sponge is it starts to swell and get soft. And then as it swells and gets soft, it grows out to the whole sponge. And eventually that sponge can no longer hold that water inside it. Water starts pouring out of every pore that it has. In this way, I believe this is the relationship that God wants to have with us and that God wants us to have with each other. And this is the relationship I think that Paul saw in the people of Colossae. That as that sponge stood under that faucet and the water poured into it, it was so filled with that water that it couldn't help but pour out. And it's this that I believe the way that God works in us. That as we allow his love to flow through us, as we understand who he is better, and our relationship becomes closer and closer to him, that love can't help but pour out of us. It's not that we are actively fighting to work to present ourselves to others. It's that God is working in us, and we are allowing Christ to work in us so much that it can't help to come out. That his love is poured into us and flows through us. We are but broken vessels that he has made through, that he has made whole through his love and his grace. And that as we live our lives in him, and as we allow his love to fill us, and as we allow our learning to help us understand better who he is, that knowledge and that love flowing into us should flow out to each other. And that's what, as I spoke last week about how I see this body of believers, it is that love pouring into us, flowing out to each other, is that I see the strength of our group of believers, that I see as God working in this body of believers, working through others. And I want to encourage you as I speak that you continue to work and to understand who God is better through his word, and that you allow that love to flow through you and pour out to each other as we walk through our daily lives, that we might be more like him, and that in being more like him, that we might minister to each other through his grace and his love and his mercy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for this group of believers that are meeting here together, that as we understand who you are more, and as we come closer to you through your grace and through your mercy, that we might in turn allow that love to flow out of us into each other, that we might hold each other up and be a support for each other as we grow closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.